This is a conspiracy. That's what this is.
One big damn conspiracy! And everyone's in on it!
I know what's going on.
Did IQs just drop sharply while I was away?
The person is smart. People are dumb, panicky, dangerous animals, and you know it.
Did you see the memo about this?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
Don't you see what this means? This is it! This is the beginning of everything! I've been waiting for this all my life!
Welcome to episode 61 of your Missing Point podcast, where we discuss the weird, the wonderful, and the downright bizarre aspects of life as we have conversations with people from all over the world. Today I'm joined by guests who are a staple in the podcasting community, from their Planet Retard reports to top quality guests. They've been a show I've listened to for many years. Beyond their show, they've built a fantastic community of listeners and content creators whose interactions online have created some real life connections and friendships. Let us welcome two-thirds of the Legit Bat crew, Jen and Joe, or as I like to call them, the Bostonian and the Babe. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, dude. And you're much more professional with your intros. I'm just like, hey, let's start talking.
Yeah, we just say welcome to Legit Bat. So wait, hold on. He's the Babe, but I'm the Bostonian?
Oh, he's the Babe.
Oh, okay.
A long time ago, we got dubbed the hippie, the blonde, and the finger eater. And
yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, it was like, hey, that's true. Whatever.
That is a very interesting one. Who gave you that?
Some old codger on Rockfin, I think. We went on Forbidden Knowledge News.
Yeah, we were on Chris Matthews' show, and it was a Sunday. We went on very randomly at the last minute, and we had both been drinking all day, day drinking in the sun. It was like 115 degrees. And so we were just pieces of shit when we got there. I mean, we didn't really have anything intelligent to contribute. We were just kind of like poop and farts or whatever dumb shit we were saying. And some guy chimed in the comments and was like, whenever the hippie and the blonde talk, it's a complete waste of time. But he spelled complete wrong. So I just thought that was funny. He said it's a complete waste of time.
Well, he spelled waste wrong too, like your gut waste.
Yeah.
And so we just thought that was funny because we're like, you're retarded. So.
But also, he was correct.
Yeah.
We weren't upset with him.
Fair enough.
And the finger eater, the finger eater is just Ben. He just is constantly chewing his nails on the screen all the time.
And he's a younger sibling, so he generally would have had fingers in his mouth as a kid anyway. So he hasn't really changed.
Yeah. Finger in his mouth, his butt, everything, but he just won't stop. I've told him so many times, I'm like, dude, just for an hour of your day, don't gnaw on your fingers. And he's like, oh, fuck care, and he just keeps doing it. So I'm like, well, whatever,
you have to do what that parents do. Like, you might have done it with your kids where you put stuff on their nails and like taste bad to stop them from eating it and chewing. You have to put that on.
Our older brother had to do that because he is terrible with chewing his fingernails. Like, it's down to the nubs. You would not believe this dude's nails if you saw him. It's crazy.
He's in his late 40s, and he has no fingernails.
It's wild.
That is crazy.
But he tried that. He tried putting the nasty shit on his nails when he was a teenager, and it just didn't work. He just powered through it. He's like, I'm just going to deal with it because I really, really want to chew my nails. So
I just want to shorten the length of my fingers just by a few inches. There we go.
Well, it's weird. It got to the point where they can't grow anymore because once you get down so far, the skin kind of grows up under it, and now he just... He can't even really chew his nails anymore because they're so far back. It's fucking weird. But I can't do that. I used to bite my nails all the time too, but now I can't even do that because at work I get so much shit under my nails. I'm like, that's my deterrent now. I'm like, I have thousands of microbes under each nail. I'm just not going
to
do
it. Yeah, I used to bite my nails too. Just not all the time. Not as bad as his brother, but I would just bite them here and there. And then I started working with kids and that was my deterrent. I was like, nope. Your hand's been in your butt. It was kids with autism as well, so they had
good way to get dysentery,
To really bolster your immune system. You could look at it both ways.
Oh yeah, I worked with kids who had hand, foot, mouth disease all the time, and kids who pooped themselves and had to wear their pajamas backwards because they would dig in their diaper and then paint the walls with it.
How wonderful.
Parents, sometimes they didn't even clean them before I got there. They would just kind of wipe their hands down with water and a cloth with like no soap. So they smelled like raw shit the whole time. And you also can't, I'm in their home, so I can't be like, hey, your kid smells like shit. Can you please do something?
Oh,
I
you
had
can.
To just pretend.
You can say that.
It's fine. Yeah.
If you want, if you don't want your job.
Yeah. Yeah. I needed my job.
Well, this episode's kind of started the way I expected would. You guys can go off onto random topics. That's fine. You go onto random topics, but it's enjoyable conversations nonetheless. And I came in with this episode not expecting anything, not setting a topic, just catching up with you guys because it's been a hot minute since we've caught up. We've been talking the Telegram and in messages and whatnot, but we haven't actually sat down face to face in a long time now.
Face to screen, face to face. Yeah, either way. But I mean, hey, you can't complain though. We would never be able to talk to half the people we talk to, actually probably 95% of the people we talk to, if it wasn't for these, you know, this wonderful science that we have, and we can sit down with people across the world. I mean, for the listeners, we're 16 hours ahead. I can't do math right now, but
I'm ahead, you're behind, but yeah
you're ahead, but yeah, so it's literally a different day over there right now. How could you do that in any other decade? It's crazy.
Exactly. You couldn't. And this is what I like about your show, because and then the Telegram that came out of it. You're not only getting your listeners and your fans to connect with one another and form friendships, you've actually connected a lot of content creators, which I see you guys as almost the adhesive glue of the podcasting community, because there's people that I would never have made contact with if it wasn't for you guys and the Telegram. So thank you for actually making a great community just out of piss and fart jokes. It works.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's the way it is with a lot of shows, though, because we all, especially in this genre in particular, everybody kind of listens to each other's shows, and then they're like, oh, that's an interesting guest. I want to have them on. So you hit up them, and then they give you an email address, or you get a number or whatever, and it just is all, it's kind of a big circle jerk, really, but it works out because it's people we want to talk to, and other people want to talk to them, so it's, I mean, everybody does that. Like, I've learned of people from you. I've learned of most of my guests have just been from other friends' shows. So they're kind of the glue for me. Like, I'm not trying to do any of that. I just have people on I want to talk to, and then other people want to talk to them too. So
you do have this bravery, though. When we started out doing our show, we were brand new, and we were listening to Union of the Unwanted and OBDM and just people who are huge in this community. And Joe just reached out to them immediately. He was like, hey, do you want to be on my show? And most people don't do that because they feel like they're not worth it. I'm not saying that Joe has this like arrogance, but it's this confidence of like, hey, I really like you. I want to get you on. And he put out this positive energy to them, and it just came right back. Like Charlie Robinson was like the third guest on our show or something.
I think it was second guest.
Yeah.
And then Monica and Brad from, I saw you had Monica on. Her and Brad were like our fourth guest or something. It's crazy.
Just because Joe reached out, though, it wasn't because we're so great. It's just because we asked. And a lot of people, I feel like, should, if anyone's thinking of starting their own show, just do it and just reach out to people. Because 9 times out of 10, they're going to hit you up and be like, yeah, sure, sounds good. Shoot me some dates.
Well, yeah, and most of us podcasters are just, you know, no name, no ones that have day jobs and just do this at night for fun. So it's not like we're, some of the bigger guests are a lot harder to schedule, you know, like David Icke or something like that. That's, you got to work for that one. It took me like 6 months to get him on, just emailing back and forth with his daughter-in-law trying to book him. But as far as like normal everyday people shows, like most of the people in this community, we're pretty open. Like, I don't have shit going on. I don't have a life. I just sit back and make fun of stuff.
That's the thing you tend to forget, because when inevitably a lot of people as podcasters, they initially start off as listeners. Like, I started off as a listener. If it wasn't for Adam from Deborah Gets Redpilled, I wouldn't have started my own show. I was just having to be a guest on his. And then when you go out, like you said, you have that little bit of bravery and you kind of go, wait a minute, these are just real people. You approach other content creators and you get them on the show. It still feels like a little bit of a coup. Like when I've had Joe and I had Midnight Mike on, those are my biggest fanboy moments ever, because OBDM is my favorite podcast, hands down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now all I need is Cretchit and I've got the Trinity and I'm done and I'm set.
Yeah, I think we have actually had Cretchit on more than the other two. We've had Joe on, we had Midnight Mike on, but Cretchit's come on random shows, like a Halloween show. He came on for a Planet Retard one time, and he's actually not on OBDM like half the time, so I was very stoked when he just jumps on ours. But he would be fun to get on. He's definitely the third leg of that show, and he's hilarious. Like, but then it got to a point where,
remember when Mike was out of town, Crutch had reached out to you and was like, "Hey, do you guys want to come on and guest host?" And we're like, "Whoa!"
Yeah,
I was like, "We did once. We did it one time. It was like the second time he asked us, and I was like, I don't know, because it's too early to get drunk before the show, and I would have the fanboy moments too, where I'm like, ah, you guys are awesome."
No, it's one of those ones.
It was a while ago.
But it's 9 o'clock in the morning for us when their live show starts, so it would have to be a wake and bake situation. But yeah, we went on OBDM 3 years ago maybe, and yeah, that was super fun. It's exactly what I expected. I'm like, this is great. I get to talk with the show I watch live like every fucking week. It's crazy. We are speaking of that, we're having Joe on. I call him Joe BDM because why not? But we're having him back on Thursday, and this is going to be a regular show, so I'm going to let him do his rants. Yeah, because last time it was Planet Retard, and he was just kind of bringing articles. But this time I'm like, this is going to be like OBDM, only with you doing the entire segment. So you can rant about Jews and whatever else you want. Just go off on it.
It's a shame you can say whatever you want.
Put that dick in my ass.
It's a shame it's not on a Saturday or Sunday. Then you can call it the Anti-Semitic Saturday or Sunday show.
I could put it out on a Saturday.
What I love about those guys is that they seem to have struck a really good balance. You look at Cretchen, and he's like the human encyclopedia. The amount of knowledge that guy has across multiple things is outstanding. Joe seems to be the geopolitical, politics, world agenda type of stuff guy. He's nailed it into a fine point. And then we've got Mike, who just loves the crazy out there conspiracy cryptid alien type of stuff, and it's just a nice healthy splattering of all of them.
Oh yeah, and I would definitely be lying if I said they weren't a huge influence in the style of our show. It's much different show than they do. They're much more professional, and they have it kind of, you know, segmented and kind of, you know, semi organized, and we just fucking go blah for an hour and then it's over.
You do have your soundboard. It's a very Midnight Mike-esque soundboard.
The only
one I stole from him is
piss.
But I felt fine in doing that because I've been saying piss since I was a teenager because of the Tourette's guy. Like, I've loved Tourette's guy since way the fuck before OBDM was ever a show. So I was like, I'm not stealing it from you. I'm stealing it from my own brain because
piss.
That's a great, it's a great four-letter word that is very underused. Nobody uses that. And I got her saying it, and then she got her boss saying it. And now everybody says piss.
When I first moved here, this was like 8 years ago, I would drop something and be like, oh, piss. And my boss heard me, and she's like, did you just say piss instead of shit or fuck or whatever?
Piss.
And I was like, yeah. So she started saying it, and we're just passing it along.
But I surprised Mike and Joe because I have sound drops of all of them now. And I'm turning it on them because they're the Alex Jones people. So I on purposely don't have any Alex Jones drops because I'm like, I can never master a soundboard the way Mike can, but I can use your drops.
Play some of them.
Well, Mike's are easy.
What the fuck?
Got that. I think the only Cretchid one I have is
I am the god of fuck.
As soon as I heard him say that, I'm like, I gotta pull that one. I got the most out of Joe, I think, because he's just so off the rails sometimes. Like,
everybody's fake and gay. It's all fake and gay. Who cares?
And the one balls drop.
Balls.
That's also Joe. So thanks, Joe. I'm gonna play all those for him when he comes on our show next week.
I can't wait to listen to that one. Now, you guys have been doing like a Planet Retard, almost like the most stupid, most brain dead type of crazy news stories you think you could ever encounter, but you seem to keep finding more and more, which is quite concerning about the world that we live in. Now, in your entire time of doing that, the craziness of COVID excluded, what would you each say is the most retarded piece of news you've come across in, say, the past couple of years in doing that?
Oh my god, there's so many, and they all kind of blur together after a while, because if you were to look through my email, it's a shit show in there. Like, it's just articles I send myself from my phone so that I can see them on my computer. So it's just, I'd have to do a search to even, I'm missing, like, we haven't covered half of what I actually have. And I could go back and just cover old shit, but I try to find new ones every week and it never disappoints. Every once in a while, there's a week where I'm like, wow, there's a weird downtick of stupid news, but
all
you gotta do is figure out the keywords and you'll find the stupid people. I've done very uncomfortable Google searches like penis and then looked under the news tab just to find dick news, because there's always dick news every week, surprisingly.
But some of them are written by AI, so that became kind of a piece of the segment or a piece of the show when we were doing Planet Retards. Was I would kind of chime in and be like, is this AI or not, guys? What do you think? Because it's it would the articles would repeat themselves over and over, and it was about like the camel beauty contest in Saudi Arabia. Like that was a weird one where they were like using Botox on their lips to make them look prettier, and it was supposedly a genuine article, but I'm like, I just think this is AI.
It's too on the nose for Saudi Arabia. Like, of course they'd have a camel beauty contest.
For whatever reason, AI can just not manage to get the English language right. There's cadence issues, or it doesn't flow right, like you said. Sometimes they repeat verbatim the same sentence later on in another paragraph. It doesn't seem to get that right. But while we're on that topic of AI, does it scare you at all at how fast AI has developed in, say, the past 3 years? Like, I remember looking back at image generation maybe 3 or 4 years ago, maybe five, give it some kind of credit. 5 years ago, it was really crap. And I heard a lot of people back then going, you know, you've got to get on AI. You've got to learn how to use it now. It's going to be the future. And I saw what was coming out going, man, artists are always going to trump this stuff. This is no good. It's not going to be anywhere. 3 years later, holy shit, you cannot discern with what's made by a computer versus an actual artist these days.
No, and I don't know if you, again, listened to OBDM today or from Wednesday. I guess it was Wednesday's show. I just listened to it today, but he's playing AI-written songs. Mm. And we went on Sunday Night Secret Society. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Kyle and Hank over there, but he made a couple AI intros for the show we did with them. And I'm like, it's so fucking close. And I don't even know if he wrote the lyrics. You can just type a couple keywords into ChatGPT and be like, write a song on this. Then you plug the lyrics into a different AI and it writes a whole fucking song. And it's perfectly mixed. I think that's where we're going to be able to tell the difference, is that it's going to be too perfect. It's almost like, you know, the old school people that think the difference between vinyl or older music where it's imperfect, like old Metallica, where you can just hear that Lars is off on the drums, but that's what makes it human, is that you can hear that kind of offness. Listen to old Led Zeppelin. It is horrible. The mixing, the errors they make, but that's what made it great music, because you knew humans were doing it. So I think it doesn't scare me so much, except for that people are getting fooled by who knows how long this has been going on in the media. Because there was that article about the AI influencer, which is two of the most retarded things you could put together in a sentence, that was doing a segment on Survivor, like as a host. And it's a completely fabricated thing. It's just digital pixels and digital language put into something that looks like an actual human doing a hosting segment on a real show. If you don't think they've been doing that, we have access to this technology to do that now. If you don't think that's been going on long before now, that's what scares me more, not the current state of AI. Because that's probably whatever level we're allowed to have right now has probably been going on for a long time. And that freaks me out to think about how much in the last, not just since COVID, but even before that, how much of that was a digital thing that nobody back then would ever even think. Because the best CGI we had 10 years ago, you could tell it was CGI. But now you can't really tell the difference. And now you see all, you know, photos from outer space and whatever, like you can't, who fucking knows what's real? And people, video used to be kind of the gold standard of evidence for something, because you'd be like, there's a video of it, you can see this person saying this. And now you can't trust fucking any of that. I can make Trump and Biden say whatever I want now.
This is President Donald Trump, and you're listening to Legit Bat Podcast, the best, most terrific show in America or the world.
So that one's actually bad. This is probably from about a year ago. The AI voice replication has gotten way better now. It is so spot the fuck on, especially for people who talk a lot, like us or presidents or Joe Rogan. You can make them say whatever they want, and then now they have the deep fake videos to go with that voice. I don't trust anything anymore. Every time I see a news story now, I'm like, could be real. I don't know. Do I know somebody who lives there? We should ask them, because all I'm doing is seeing it on a screen.
That's always been the fear that I've had. Like, how do we know, just the mainstream media, a car crash that's presented on the nightly news? Well, that's in the capital city. I'm out in the country. How do I know that's actually occurred? You throw in top of that AI, which is, if it's been held by the military industrial complex, could be 30, 40 years in advance of what we've got today. Like, if we're plebs, civilians using what's available now, what have they got? So it throws into that whole idea of the conspiratorial, like, schizo mindset of, what have they faked throughout history at a global or national scale? Like, how do we know the level of propaganda isn't hundreds of years in the future of technology than what we'd normally expect?
But yeah, and most people live their lives through screens now, so it's so much easier to fake anything they want and have millions and billions of people see it all at the same time and all believe that that's something that happened. It, when you're not actually seeing it, you're looking down at your phone. So I don't know. I would love to see like a real-time graph of like how propaganda has, you know, evolved over the last 100 years. But when it comes back to like the early 1900s, shit was way easier to fake back then because nobody saw anything. They could say anything happened and then they'd send it out in the newspaper or whatever else. And everyone's like, wow, that's crazy. The media would never lie. Walter Cronkite said it. So it's fucking true. So it was a lot easier back then. But now we had this weird area like the moon landing phase where they're like, yeah, we have video of this. It's happening. Look, they're on the moon. And then fast forward 50 years and we're going back and looking at that same footage and AI is looking at it and going, there's some wonky shit about that. This doesn't look like it was actually filmed on the moon. This is in a Hollywood basement somewhere. So there was a weird in-betweenness over like the 70s, 80s where anything that was on video was like perceived to be real because you could see it. And now we're in a phase now where we're like, we don't believe anything on video anymore because anything can be faked. So how do you figure out what's real out of that? You got to see it with your own eyes. And guess what? I can't be everywhere at once. So I don't know what's real.
We'll go back to the 1900s. It'll be a cycle.
Yeah.
But I also think that's
blaming your lying eyes. Who knows if that didn't happen before us?
Exactly. Yeah. My another concern I've got is it's not the propaganda side wing of how we can be influenced by governments or three-letter shady agencies. It's how much entertainment's going to make us more dull and docile. If AI gets to a point where you can have like a streaming service and you put in your prompts for the type of movie you want to watch, I would like to watch Rush Hour, but I would like Bruce Lee as the role of Jackie Chan, and I would like Dwayne The Rock Johnson as Chris Tucker, and it could generate it for you, but be indistinguishable from the actual film. That would keep people in their pods, in their tiny little houses eating soybeans or crickets, because they'd be entertained. People could create comic books, they could create cartoon movies, they could create anything they want suited to them, who they are. Think about the algorithms we get for film suggestions now. That, but on crack. Like, imagine the films, things people could make that would keep them within their houses and not worried about what's going on around them.
Absolutely. Cool. Yeah, that would be insane now that I'm thinking of people just making up their own movie. You could go even farther and say, I want anything, literally anything that you want. You could have it just shown to you. You could listen to any type of music. There'll be no incentive for people to create content anymore.
I think it'll go back the other way, though, too, because I think it will get to, I don't know exactly how dystopian it'll get, but it'll get to some kind of point like that where the algorithms are so good that you don't even have to put in prompts for it. You're going to have Uflix or iFlix or something. You're going to go on there and it's going to be like, we know what you want to watch today. We've seen your search history. Here's what you want to watch. And you're going to be like, God damn, yeah, I really do want to watch
Netflix that. Netflix already does that.
You're right.
Exactly.
And this is from apparently stuff that was actually filmed and made by actors, which you can't believe that anymore either. Bruce Willis signed over his likeness to Sony or Warner or whoever, I don't care, signed over his likeness so that they can use an AI representation of him in new movies because he's basically an invalid now. And so he's still going to be making money, I guess, from his likeness as an AI movie character, and you're not going to be able to tell it's not fucking him.
I find it really sad because I'm an art teacher and I've got a background in art. To think that the soul and the creativity of the human spirit could disappear within my generation due to this stuff is just quite horrifying. Like, there's always going to be people creating things, but the level that this stuff is getting to is just, it's unfathomable. You've tried to tell someone from the 80s that computers would be making art and songs and recreating people's voices, they wouldn't believe you.
Yeah. And I mean, a year ago, even people probably wouldn't really believe it unless you're looking into this weird shit like we do. But like, I think it was about a year ago where there was an AI created pizza commercial and it was fucking hilarious. I might have posted it on Instagram, but it was great. And it was so bad and so off. And the verbiage was wrong. But then now you see where it's come just in a year, like you were saying, like just in the last year or two. And it's even getting the hands right now. Like, it actually gets five fingers on hands now.
Is that people programming it, though, or is it learning? That's another scary thing, too.
I think
if it's learning...
Sorry, keep going.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, if it's learning, it's going to teach us recipes and things that will kill us, possibly. Like, if it decides that we are the thing that it doesn't want in the world, it will be like, here's a new recipe on Yumly, and it will be that don't go together.
There was an article on that where, they were like, oh, put this and this together, and it was kitchen cleaning ingredients into like this apple pie or whatever, and it was like, yeah, put cyanide in this and just a little bit, you know, just for flavor. I don't remember what the exact recipe was, but it was something so wonky that they're like, do not trust AI for your recipes yet unless you know what you're doing when you're cooking.
But can you picture Gen Z being like, do we have any cyanide? Shit. Okay, let's go get some because we don't have any and the recipe says we need it.
I got three pallets of rat poison. Yay.
Well, Gen Z is dumb enough as is, but can you imagine another two generations down the line where we're completely reliant on AI? AI is playing the long game and then suddenly it just flips a switch overnight and just starts telling like combinations of food that can cause massive issues and actually kill people.
Well, I mean, and they'll go right along with it. Like you said, not only are they stupid, but they're already eating McDonald's, which kills you slowly. So, like, it's going to be an easy transition for AI. They won't even have to come up with it. The AI won't have to come up with recipes. They'll just be like, go get a sausage McMuffin. And then for lunch, get a Whopper. And then for dinner, get another Whopper. Fuck it. Make sure you get that soft serve ice cream if the machine's working, too. Oh, speaking of McDonald's, that's not to trail off from AI, but California just passed the $20 minimum wage for fast food workers. Guess what happened immediately?
Everything went up.
Layoffs, cutting of hours, and price increases. Who would have fucking thought?
It's so almost as if it was never going to work.
Yeah, even In-N-Out. Like, that's one of our favorite, West Coaster, favorite burger joints, and they're super cheap, and they're way higher quality. They're raising their prices, and they haven't done that since they've been here, like since I can remember.
But they already paid their workers really, really well. To work in and out, you made like $22 an hour.
Like
just as a fast food worker, you have to wear a stupid paper hat and dress like a 50s person, but you get paid $22 an hour to serve people burgers.
But, I mean, it's already been tested, the AI in fast food, at least, the AI robots that can basically do the same thing three workers can. That thing pays for itself in, like, 3 days because it's covering all the costs of having insurance, workman's comp, all these things you pay humans to do, not just the wage and taxes, but you're paying for one machine that can replace 3 to 4 employees one time. And then it's cranking things out, probably getting the order better than the workers do themselves. So we're going to definitely see more of that. I talked a couple shows about how...
How are people going to be able to afford the food that these machines are making when they're not fucking working?
Well, it'll probably get
universal basic income.
Yeah, credits.
There you go.
Well, you have so many McDonald's credits.
Going on to McDonald's isn't really moving away from the topic because I've noticed even within Australia, and I live in regional Australia, our local Macca's has self-serve little scan, like, you know, your QR code type of shit. It's there so it can remove the people completely. It doesn't need people to take the order anymore. All it needs is people to cook the food at the moment. So you've already removed the service side of things. It's just the cooks. Well, at what point does it get to where there's only a person that's loading the materials into a certain bay and then a robot comes and moves it and puts it on the grill and flips it, puts it in
They don't even really need that. That's the one I was seeing, and this is from a year or two ago when they started talking about minimum wage increases and cutting costs because they're corporations and they're watching their bottom line all the time. This was literally maybe 2 or 3 years ago when I saw this video of this robot arm. It's like one arm that just kind of weirdly puts cheese on buns and, you know, puts it together. If they had that a couple years ago, there's definitely, you know, these companies, especially big corporations like that, have been looking into this and investing in the technology to make this real for a while now.
And what did Mike Judge know to make that a reality in Idiocracy?
Exactly.
And he's like, Carl's Jr.
He's from the future.
You, I'm eating. And the lady just goes up to get her french fries and she's bashing the machine and she hits it, but it drops like one thing of french fries out. And she wants more or whatever. Her kids are starving. But anyway, she still gets french fries out of this machine somehow. I feel like that is definitely a reality.
What's your boy Carl's Jr.?
It's around the corner. Mike Judge is
from the future. He's a genius. He knew something. And it, actually, if you think about back when that movie was made, and if listeners, if you haven't seen Idiocracy, what are you doing with your life? Go watch that. It used to be a funny ha-ha. Now it's just a documentary. And now it's actually kind of depressing to watch because you're like, oh fuck, that is kind of like
I had the privilege of moving to Indiana the year that it came out from Boston. And I was like, what the fuck? I live in this place. I thought Idiocracy, the movie, was exactly like where I lived in Indiana. People were just like that. I mean, minus the futuristic stuff. They were still just like, oh, why are you trying to say that word? Just the, you know.
There's that fag mundane talk we talked about.
Yeah. I love how they nailed Crocs. They predicted how the
dude, that shoe was made Crocs for the movie.
Yeah, they want something that's going to be so ugly, but futuristic that nobody would ever wear. And then everyone wore them.
No, yeah, that movie literally created that shoe, and then they became popular. And I'm like, this guy is a wizard.
Our kids wear them. They love them. They even have little, I don't even know what they're called. The
little
stuff
charms
you put,
or whatever.
Yeah, you put stickers and stuff on.
There's a name for it.
Dude, I rip on my kid for it, and he just looks at me like, fuck you.
They're the
like,
laziest shoe. You don't even have to tie. You just kind of slip them on.
People are like, oh, they're so comfortable.
Around.
No, they're fucking not. They're like little dolly plastic shoes. They're not fucking comfortable. I don't care what you say.
I have no idea.
I put one on one time to be like, what's all the hype about? I'm like, nope.
It's a gateway shoe to the floating chairs from WALL-E. It's the escalation. It's going to start off as Crocs and then it's have the evolution of
the
what it goes to.
Gateway shoe.
Yeah, that's it.
I like this term.
It's the marijuana of shoes. Don't try it even once, kids. You'll get hooked. No, I talked about a couple shows ago, about going back to McDonald's, about how depressing the inside, even the outside of a McDonald's is now. I remember McDonald's being like a happy, fun, ha-ha place. Granted, even in the 90s or 80s, it was not healthy by any means. It's probably better back then.
We were kids.
But no, it was like a fun, it was a colorful, fun place. They had a ball pit and a play area, and everyone was like stoked to go to McDonald's. I'm a delivery driver. I went in there the other day. A brand new Walmart opened right across from Costco. Weirdly, welcome to Costco. I love you. And I go in there to deliver, and there's zero humans in there besides the people eating. There's three kiosks in the corner, and then there's a counter, but it's a counter with no cash registers or anything on it. It's just like a table, and there's no people. There's no menus. There's no, not even TV screens with menus. Nothing. It's blank. It looks like a prison in there. And I had to walk back to the kitchen area to find somebody to sign for a package because I'm like, what is going on in here? It was brand new, so I thought they just hadn't finished. Nah. Like a month later, I went back in there. It looked exactly the fucking same. Everything's painted gray. Like it's gray inside and out, and the outside is just a fucking box. It looks like a shoebox painted gray, and it just has the golden arches on it. I'm like, this place has really gone downhill. I bet the food has too. I don't know. I haven't eaten McDonald's in 20 fucking years. But
so
yeah,
ours,
it was weird.
Ours tend to look more like modern day display homes. Like they're rich with like warm wood colors, tiles. You go in, if you didn't see the counter and the kitchen in the back, you think it's like the start of a display home when you go in to build a house and they're showing you all the options.
Really?
They look like that here. But remembering what it was like as a kid, where you had the creepy Ronald McDonald sitting there like this, and you'd sit there and have a photo, all that stuff, that's gone now. There's no heart in the food that's trying to kill us anymore. It's sterile.
Like at least they tried to make it inviting. Now they're just like, we know you're going to eat it anyway, so fuck you. Just come in and eat it.
And also, they're like, we know that your kid has a fucking tablet that they're going to pay attention to, and they're not interested at all in this play place or ball pit or taking a picture. They'll take the picture for you. Your three-year-old.
No, I'll have to send you a picture next time I'm in there, because every once in a while I get that stop and I have to deliver to that place. I will take a 360 fucking panorama next time so you can see what I'm talking about, because it creeps me out. It legitimately creeped me out when I walked in there, because I thought it was just under construction, but it's not. That's just how it looks.
There's still old people that go in there. So I DoorDash sometimes. I started DoorDashing in 2020 because I lost my job, the job where I worked with kids and stopped biting my nails. And it was so much fun. I don't know why I loved it so much, because I was in the world and everyone was afraid to be there.
It was something you'd never done before.
But I still it was something I've never done before, but nobody was out and everyone was ordering food. So it was a great way to make money. But I do it sometimes just because I'm still signed up. And you'll see that person in McDonald's who walks in, the old man, will just come in and stand at the counter for like 20 minutes and just wait. And they're just like, excuse me, can I get some help over here? And they're like, oh, there's the... And he's like, no, I have cash and you have a face and this is a cash register. Let's go. And he forces them. I mean, I watched a guy do this. It was great. He made them take the order and then he waited for it. He sat down. He didn't give a fuck about the kiosk. He was like, this isn't how it's done. You guys are being dumb.
Gotta love
that's
those
why
burgers.
I like In-N-Out too. Like, I know you're talking about.
They're a dying breed, though. Like, eventually, enough people won't be doing that. They
like,
don't care.
I do. We do our grocery shopping every Saturday morning, so I did that before we started the show today. And without fail, you go there, and there's the staff who stand at like the self checkouts, and they just wait for people and go, "Oh, look, there's self checkout," and they try to guide you to it. And without fail, there's that old boomer that goes, "Oh, I'm keeping you in a job. Go to the register. Put this through for me."
I mean, they're not wrong, though. I mean, I get it. I get their attitude, but they are not wrong. All of our Walmarts here are all self-check, except for, I think, 3 cash registers.
Just recently,
it used to be,
too.
Like, 25 cash registers. Wow. And now it's, like, I think there's 3 or 4 cash registers, and everything else is self-check.
It was 3 or 4. It was 25 registers, and 3 of them were open at any given time. So I get why they did that as far as efficiency, laying off employees. Now you don't need as many employees. Now one fucking dumb dude making $16 an hour can just stand there and go, "This one's open." And they've talked about the rise in theft, too, with all these self-checkouts. Wow. Wonder fucking why. I've tested that out at a local chain of grocery stores here where they sold a wing bar. And they just had all kinds of different flavored wings and shit. And I'm like, let's see how easy it would be to get one over on the man. So what you do is you fill up whatever wings you want. Then when you get to the self-check, you got to weigh it. All I did was put it half on the scale, half off. And guess what I got? Half fucking off. It was like $1.60 for like 2 pounds of wings. And I'm like, fucking easy. Yeah, I've talked about it before.
It's like the old great trick.
Yeah, that fucking easy.
Everyone does that with fruit and vegetables, and now we're just applying it to the registers.
Yeah, they're like, "Is this organic?" And you're like, "No, not
definitely not."
That's 3 times as much.
So
no, it's not
organic. Here's the problem to that solution, which they've already pre-programmed into us so they can put this in place. There's theft issues now because no one's manning it, no one's scanning it, people are just taking advantage. They're going to make it a condition of shopping in that center that you have an account and your face is registered and your bank account details are loaded up to, say, Walmart. And every time you enter, the cameras that are on you at all times register what products you're picking up at any given moment. So if you walk out, it's instantly charged to you. That's the future.
That's
going to be no way
happening.
To avoid that.
That's already happening in some places. I want to say, what's that place in China where they're real fucking...
All of China?
No, I was going to say the Wagyus. It's not that. It's, you know, the people you always talk about.
The Uyghurs.
The
Wagyus.
I don't know if it's from there, but I definitely heard. I don't know if it was a prototype or if it's actually happening, but it was that kind of a thing where you walk, and I think it might have been connected to your phone, where when you walk in, the RFID is like, "Oh, this is this person." And then kind of like you were saying, well, like everything is kind of tagged, and it's dystopian as shit. Like there's no cashiers or people because you just get charged with whatever you walk out with. They know what you have, and you get charged when you walk out. There's no theft, nothing, because we'll figure a way around that too. I mean, trust me. But
they also get upset. So if you buy alcohol a couple days in a row, your social credit score goes down, and you don't know why. They don't tell you the reasons for that. You just have to guess, like, well, I did buy beer yesterday and the day before that and every day for the last 5 years, so it might be that. But you can't quite tell. Whatever you purchased could just lower your credit score.
No,
and
or
it
you,
just keeps them in the dark. It's
terrifying. Camera catches you smoking on the subway, and they just send you a fucking ticket, and they're like, "Here's a pic." It's like the speed cameras, you know, or the red light cameras.
But you got screwed once, so how easy... AI makes mistakes. It's not perfect. So what if they thought they scanned something that wasn't correct and then people assault you on the way out and you're like, "I didn't have that." And they're like, "Where is it?" I don't know. You got tagged.
It's in my keister.
That's like a body cavity search. Where's the Mars bar?
It was a bridge. I was going to say a bridge troll, but close enough. A bridge toll that was an auto. They just send you the ticket in the mail. Not ticket, but like the... "Hey, you went through this bridge, so here's a fucking pay us $7.
Do you guys have that, like a fast pass type thing where when you're on the freeway or the highway where you have like a little scanner on your car?
We've got a few on the state, got a few tollways.
So I don't have a fast pass like thing because I don't live in a city where we have toll roads or anything. But when we go down to the Bay Area, we always have to go across a bridge or something that has a toll. And if you don't have a fast pass or anything, they take a picture of your license plate and then just tag you with that and send you the bill. So they sent me a bill one time, and it was clearly not my car. And you could tell because you could see, you know, the logo and everything of the car. And it was, the license plate was just close enough. But I think my car had a Q in it instead of an O or vice versa. And so I called him and I'm like, that was not me. I was definitely not in San Francisco that day. I was at work. I can show you my time card. Like,
but
I
if you didn't do that, though, I guess is my point. If you hadn't had the wherewithal to call, you would have had points on your license and possibly your license suspended and then a huge charge, and it could have gone to collections. Like, all of that is because of one little mistake AI made, saying you were in a place you were not.
The Indian on the phone was like, hey, let me check into this, buddy. And like 5 minutes later, he comes back. He's like, oh, yes, that appears that is not your car. I'm like, yeah, can you not send me those anymore, ever?
He's like, it is not my job.
He's like, thank you. Come again.
You will have to go to customer complaints. I'll forward you now.
Yeah, please hold.
Oh, I had that.
Thank you. I'll come again.
That's what he sounded like when I hung up, yeah.
Well, you mentioned China as like the example that... Now, China's had this in place for a while. Now, the West is transitioning into that. The danger with the West is we've got woke politics and woke agendas, greenhouse scams, the green agenda. It's going to be at a point where, like you mentioned before, you might have had a steak twice in a week. Sorry, you've met your carbon credits for the week because you've already eaten a steak. Now you've got too many. Your credit score's gone down. We're seeing the real-life implications of that in modern-day China. Homelessness amongst the young, like the 20 to 30-year-olds, is so high because they no longer qualify for housing anymore. They're living on the streets in tents. And the only jobs they can apply for because of their score is like DoorDash-top delivery type of jobs. And it's part-time. They can't even get full-time economies jobs anymore in that economy.
Yeah.
And how do you raise your credit score? Do they tell you, do they have a, like an Experian app that's like, here's your social credit score and here's what's wrong. Here's how we grade it. Because, you know, with credit, it's rated, the FICO score is rated on, I think, six different categories. And you can tell what you need to do. I work in the mortgage industry, so I know how to like help people build their credit. So we have apps and software that we can look at, pull their credit and all of their information and say, hey, here's what you can do to raise your score in the next 30 days. Does China have something like that? Because that would need to be in place. Otherwise, you're just damning these people.
What's the West going to have in 10 years, though? What's the West going to have in 10 years, though, if we go down that social credit score, if this kind of socialist idea of dystopian future still applies? You get a boost to your score if you have purple hair, if you have identify as a non-binary. You cut your dick off, that's like 100 points right there. That's huge. That's like topping out straight away. Would you be willing to do that, Joe? Cut your dick off to have a high score?
Oh, no, not I no, could, but I could tell the AI that I did.
Just at the top.
We're going to find ways. There's always ways around everything, even like this dystopian idea of like, you know, surveillance state and everything's logged that you do. There's going to be ways around it. Like there always is. Like there's ways to fake your identity on facial recognition cameras. Like there's so many different things that people are coming up with even now. And this is before the impending AI takeover. But when it comes down to the people in China and living on the streets because they can't afford a house, because they can't make enough money in the gig economy and all this stuff, they doesn't give a shit about that. They don't care that you can't afford stuff. They'll say they do. They really don't care. They're not doing anything about that. They're more worried about just making sure that you just keep producing or doing whatever, or just leeching off the system and eating bugs. Like, I don't know what the whole goal is with that, but...
I was just going to say, what's the end game for that? What do they want us to be doing?
It seems like they need us for something right now, and I don't know what that thing is, but it also seems like we're disposable at the same time. Like, they need us for something, but... They can almost just knock us off.
You know? It almost feels like they need us for the last transition to build the infrastructure that they need. I think we're very close, but we're not quite there. We're probably another like 20 years off, I think, to have the perfect system for them. Then they can start reducing numbers a little bit. You mentioned the idea that you can fake things. And this is where I think the criminal underworld or the criminal element always outmaneuvers the established system. Like, we see that with AI now. Like, when you think about the voice modulating technology in AI, people are using that to hack people's bank accounts because in the past, your voice was the most secure signature you could have in banking because it recognized your voice, you go online, you can do it. If you're people like us and you're all over the internet with your voice, we're pretty much fucked when it comes to that. They can just download a few episodes, get our voices right, go on to banking, and do whatever they need to do. The criminal underworld always has that niche element. And if the average citizen can learn from that in a kind of dystopian future, we can at least have a bit of a leeway and leverage against the system.
Yeah, and people are doing scam calls too. There's a bunch of stories about that same thing where they're using AI to scam or to clone people's voice. And I think it can be done in real time too, where I'm talking into a mic, but it's sending out the cloned voice of whoever. And these, you know, the Nigerian prince scam, they're calling grandmas and being like, "This is your granddaughter. I'm in jail. I need $1,000.
That happened to my grandpa. Their voice. You've told that story before.
Especially old people don't fucking know. They're like, "That's definitely my granddaughter. It sounds exactly like her."
My grandpa immediately assumed it was me, and she didn't give a name. So just go in there.
Imagine if your target
that was before voice cloning.
Imagine if your target to the current political kind of pushes at the moment. Like in America, it's the unmitigated migrants, like illegal migrants and rape gangs and all that type of stuff. "Mom, Dad, quick! There's Mexican migrants and they've got me with the knife point. They're going to kill me. Oh, quickly! The Mexicans are coming, honey. Quick, we've got to pay them $1,000 to get our daughter out."
That'll work in Texas,
big time.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's weird and. It's hard to educate old people, not to be ageist, but seriously, like a lot of old people don't even know how the internet works or what it really is or anything, let alone that there's AI that can clone people's faces and voices. So there's, I mean, it ends up catching up. Like a lot of old people are aware of scams now because of, you know, public action and notifications that are like, "Hey,
because of younger people in their lives telling them."
Well, that too, but there's also like PSAs from on radio stations or whatever old people listen to, and they're like, "Hey, somebody calls and says they need $1,000 so they can, you know, do whatever." That's probably a scam. Like, if you just use your critical thinking brain for a second, old lady, you'll probably figure out that that's not real.
But that's the generation.
A lot of them
though.
Are so old. They're
the generation
them.
Of trust. They knew the government was looking out for their best interest because they voted them in, and you know, America or Australia.
And because Walter Cronkite said
so. The news said so, Joe. Come on. So they have a high level of trust in that generation. I think our little generation, so people from the 80s, early 90s, we've grown up in that transitional period where we see the fluctuations and changes in technology. The failures of government, that we're once burnt twice shy generation. Whereas the generation that's come after us, the Gen Z, they are so dumb. They're like a bag of nails. They almost have the trust level, but it's dependency on technology. They think they can trust whatever's on Twitter, whatever's on TikTok. They take that as gospel. So it's almost like the polar ends of it. You got the boomer generation, you got the Gen Zs, and us in the middle, which kind of balance out that pendulum of stupidity.
And you know, the current generation is always the best. Gen Xers will tell you that all day. I'm technically a millennial, which I hate to say, but is what it is. At least I'm not Gen Z. I can say that now. You know, in 10 to 15 years, I can be like, "Millennials, we're the best ever." Just like every other generation does, so that's fine.
But I think we're seeing the worst of Gen Z, though, because think of how the boomers thought of Gen X. They hated us. They hated our music. They hated our hair. They hated our clothes, our style, everything about us, the things we said. We're doing that right now because Gen Z is young, but they're going to grow and hopefully weed out the shittiest parts of what they're dealing with, of what they're seeing every single day, and they'll get better from it. They have to. I think humanity does that. We do have this will to survive, this will to keep going and not just be like the idiots that are constantly staring at a screen. We're seeing that because that's what we're noticing, but that's what all the boomers noticed. They're like, "You guys and your music. Your metal music.
Your damn Iron Maidens and your Judas Priests."
Yeah. Well,
how many of the boomer generation were like the free love movement and the hippies? They quickly became the corporate sleazebags that we know today. Goths Dude. Of the 90s and the late 80s. You don't see a lot of goths as adults anymore. And I think to your benefit, Jen, a lot of these weird, polyamorous, purple-haired, strange creatures are going to quickly grow out of it, but I think the danger is they're so propagandized now that they have to do things at a physical and medical level. They're kind of shoehorned into that result of this questioning gender narrative. They've got the means now where it's state sanctioned and state paid for gender surgeries and hormones, which it's not a quick thing of taking makeup off anymore. It's not a thing of growing your hair to a normal length or getting rid of your mohawk or lasering off tattoos, whatever it is. These are very permanent solutions these kids have got access to.
Yeah.
Is it free in Australia as well?
It is in my state. Yeah, it is in my state. It's there's a thing within schools. It's called, what's the terminology around it again? Informed minors, or it's something along
is
the
that
lines.
A thing?
It's a. Oh, this is going to do my head in. It's my turn. It's a minor who has the ability to make the choices for themselves. They can give consent without a parent say-so.
How do they... do you have to be reach a certain age to get there or pass a test? Or
it's determined by the school. So this is the scary thing that I see.
Hmm. Wow.
The school has the ability to determine whether that isn't... that child has an ability to make choices for themselves. If they
so it's up the school to the discretion can, but not of the parents. Person,
but yeah, the school, person, but not the parent. Yeah.
But the school isn't really an entity. It's the person who's listening to that student, and it depends exactly where they lie as far as what side of the spectrum they're on. That's terrifying.
No, and it's an old. I mean, I want to say, well, it's within the last couple of years. It's an old idea now. But when they're talking about how kids can't vote, drink, smoke, get tattoos, get piercings without their parents' permission, but they can go in and get their fucking nuts cut off and dick and or vagina, whatever you got going on down there. You can go do that as a minor, as an informed minor, but you can't. Oh, and you can also go serve in your country's military too, you know, but you can't drink or smoke till you're 21. But yeah, it's just stupid. Like, and when you're talking about how they're following like science and all this stuff, the same exact people that are saying, follow the science, trust the science, and blah, blah, blah. Say men can get pregnant, and I'm now a dude because I cut my dick off. How is this not, like, glaringly obvious? And I think it is to most people, but to this weird, deviant, like, little segment of society that's the loudest squeaky wheel ever, I think they do get it, and they just don't want to. They're just children still, and they're like, no, I'm actually a dude now because I glued a dick to myself, so that makes me a dude. No, you're fucking 7. Go to the kids' table.
It's because they're used to being told. Do you remember being a child and having your mom tell you can't do something and being devastated by that, but then having a higher authority, like your grandma? And that's just the 80s talking. But we're talking about the government here that's now saying, fuck you, parents, which is a way bigger deal. And as a kid, I was like, fuck yeah, I can have ice cream because grandma says I can. And my mom caved to grandma. These parents are forced to cave to the government. And the kids are like, fuck you, mom, I can do whatever I want. And the power trip they must be on in that moment, being able to say, I can go cut my dick off if I want.
Being backed by a higher authority now.
Right, and everyone's backing them in their mind. There's a huge portion of the population, I think, a larger portion that is not supportive of that. But that portion is not highlighted in the media whatsoever. So the parents are just shut down, trying to talk sense into them, saying, and maybe the parents aren't even saying, that's stupid, don't do that. Maybe they're saying, just give it some time. Maybe you are really a girl or a guy or whatever you think, but give it some time. Wait it out. Like, I made some bad decisions when I was a kid, or I wasn't 100% sure what I wanted or needed. So as an adult, you kind of learn what you weed that shit out. Well, and I just don't think kids have that ability.
There's a reason that you're not allowed to do certain things till certain ages, apparently, is because you're, especially in dudes, like, your brain isn't even fully developed till you're 25. Which makes me think the drinking age shouldn't be till 25 or 26. Like, just no, you can't. They're going to do it anyway, obviously, but so laws are kind of stupid. But when you're talking about a permanent change like that, like even a tattoo, not a big deal. I was 17 when I got my first tattoo by some dude that was like, I do tattoos. I'm like, cool, $20, here you go. Even that, though, is not the same as cutting your fucking junk off that you will never see again because it goes into a medical waste bin somewhere. To think that somebody under 18 has the forethought and the wisdom to be like, I'm definitely a chick now, or maybe tomorrow I'll want to be a dude again. No, you can't just flip flop. It's pretty difficult. You can't just do that. Give it a minute.
The astounding thing that I find is people throw around the slippery slope analogy quite a bit, but I think it's more moving of the goalposts. I remember at one point when the trans thing kind of came up, you weren't considered a woman unless you'd had the bottom surgery. And even that community said, you're not a woman until you've had the surgery. And the mainstream community was like, yeah, okay, we can go that way. If you're willing to go all the way, it's fine. But now, girls can have dicks.
That's a huge change in the historical thing. But they really can't.
And this is where you're transphobic if you don't want to suck the lady penis.
Exactly.
Go figure that one out.
What a world to live in. It's so disgusting that recently in Australia we have this show called Q&A. It's a question and answer time where they get prominent political and cultural people up on this stage and the audience asks them questions. Very left-wing, very leaning that way. And you can tell they've deliberately chosen the questions to be asked. But they had a professor on there who was also a leader of our Greens, used to be a leader within our Greens party as a politician. And he's talking about how bestiality isn't necessarily a bad thing because traditionally people see bestiality as an abuse towards the animal. But if a woman's lying there and the dog's licking her parts in under its own free will and she's enjoying it and the animal's enjoying it, what's the harm? And the whole crowd's like, oh, yes, that's very true. Not a single person said, you sick fuck, go to a mental institution. In the past, that's what mental homes are for, and you'd berate people in the streets who ever mentioned that, but now it's open for discussion. I'll send you the news report for Planet Retard. It has blown my mind how
please
utterly
do
retarded
because why is that even a topic? Why are we trying? We're talking about trying to procreate and keep our society going, keep our humanity alive, and now people are talking about chopping off your dick, not being able to reproduce, and maybe fuck an animal too. You won't
chop off your dick, have the dog suck your dick, fuck the cat.
Yikes.
Why not? And so my problem with it is like I'm right where a couple people are now. I think Charlie Robinson said it best. He's like, I'm at the point where you call me whatever you want. Call me transphobic. Call me racist. I don't care. But sure, I'm racist. I'm transphobic. Whatever. I don't care what you call me anymore. Like none of those mean anything because you call everybody a Nazi that disagrees with you. So sure, I'm a Nazi now in your mind. Whatever, you mentally retarded fuck. Like that's it. Call me whatever you want. So when you're talking about a goal post moving as opposed to like a slippery slope, that's when it's coming down to the pedophile thing. I don't know if I should say that on your show.
Well,
you can bleep that out if you want.
I never thought that bestiality and necrophilia would become before that. But I think in when you think logically, pedophilia throughout history has always been the worst thing, and we've always demonized those people, like, you know, pedocillin is a 9 mil round and they shouldn't be allowed to live. It's kind of been the approach.
No, but now we have maps.
It's so evil. But now we have maps. I'm going to quickly read to you an exclusive from the Daily Mail. Necrophilia is harmless. Greens candidate calls for legal sex with corpses in Australia after it was revealed he campaigned to change the law to allow bestiality. So first it was bestiality. Now he's talking about fucking corpses. We're a week or two away from kids. That's how fucked these people are.
So, yeah, and these are some of the... Okay.
Ugh. Why are these topics? I just don't understand how that's news.
This
it
is
shouldn't
a
even
clusterfuck of, like...
Unless it's in the... It can be talked about, but... In a vein of, this is super fucked up and you need to go to a mental institution, like you said earlier. That's the only conversation that can be had.
As far as the corpse receiving the fucking, I'm sure it doesn't care. Maybe they can have like the thing on their driver's license where they're like, yes, you can fuck me after I'm dead. Like the donor heart, you know, like whatever. That's fine. The person doing the fucking, though, that's the one that you got to look out for, because that guy's going to go fucking spray a school up or something. Like, don't let that guy, maybe try to weed these people out and be like, so you ever thought about, you know, fucking a dead person? And if he says yes, straight to the mental institution. Okay.
Instead of the mental institution, they're going straight into government and changing policy. That's the scary thing, right?
That is kind of how these things seem to go. But yeah, I always said, I don't care what your sexual orientation is. Stick your dick in a toaster. Call it your wife. I don't care. Like, that affects me zero. But when you're doing it to another sentient being, that's where I'm drawing the line. But if you're dead, I mean...
Or if you're encouraging it through media, you're just encouraging it, talking... Like, to even talk about necrophilia as being harmless
weirdos
to the corpse. I already know that. We know that. Like, I definitely don't think the corpse is harm. No one... That's not a victim. It's a corpse. No big deal. But you're a fucking psycho.
It's still gross.
And some people will read that and think, I could fuck a corpse. Because that's what happened with the trans community. I'm sorry. I do believe that there are some people who truly believe they are the other gender. That's fine.
Right. And it's a mental disorder.
But I think there are a significant number of Gen Zers and maybe some... I don't know, younger, what's the generation before that? Was that Gen X?
Well, it's social contagion, isn't it, Jen?
It's because it's just trendy.
That's what I mean, where it
catches
on. They're seeing it and they're like, you know, I'm not getting what I want out of life. So I think I'm going to be a guy. Like, I just, my last boyfriend broke up with me. I just got a divorce. I think I'm just going to be a guy and try that out for the thrill of it, because I'm feeling so dejected and so low. Nothing is stimulating me. That generation needs constant stimulus in their face because they've had a tablet since birth. And they're like, I guess I'll just chop my dick off or cut
off the most sensitive stimulation they can have, seeking more stimulation or whatever.
Well, I think started it, though, that tablet generation where kids had tablets in their face from day one. They're like constantly seeking, what can I get at my fingertips next? And they think that they can just respawn somewhere, but no, you can't.
I mean, maybe you can. We don't know, but it's not a for sure thing. But the it's like that old memes have been around for how long? But anyway, it says just because you're ugly and have no friends doesn't mean you're the other gender. And that seems to be, if you look at some of the videos and stuff, you're like, meh, well, it doesn't look like you have. Not that having friends is that important. I have like three, but I'm also not deciding that that's going to make me a chick. So I don't, it was in the mental health manual up until a couple years ago that this exact thing was a mental disorder.
Well, and
they have people that are like, I feel like my leg doesn't belong to me. Cut it off. Fine. Fucking cut your leg off. What? Like, okay. But then to change into a woman and then be like, now I'm going to swim in a woman's swimming team because I don't have a dick anymore is retarded.
But half the time, I still have the dick. That's the weird thing. The dialectic and the mental gymnastics on this is crazy. Like, let's go down the route of, oh my God, I can't even believe I'm saying this. God forbid these weirdos get bestiality to be accepted in society. I could kick a dog on the street and I'd get arrested for animal abuse, but they can go and fuck a dog and it's fine. Some kind of weirdo, like a necrophiliac, could dig up a body and have sex with it. It's fine. But if I dig up a body of a pedophile and hit it with a hammer, I'm defiling a corpse and I'm the bad guy.
Just all you have to do is use their own mental gymnastics against them and say that that's your sexual fetish is cutting off the head of corpses and that's you're having sex. And they'll be like, okay, well, you're fine. But that is to the necrophilia thing I hadn't heard about at all. That's brand new to me. But what's going to happen is you're going to get like Jeffrey Dahmer style people that are just going to kill people to be like, well, I couldn't have sex with this thing. Well,
isn't
it alive,
weird?
So I just killed it, and now it's legal because it's dead.
It's legal. The sex is legal, but the murder's still not.
Right, but there's crazy people out there.
And the Jeffrey Dahmer thing is huge at the moment. Like, true crime amongst women, white women, sorry, Jen. White women between the age of 20 and, like, 45 is huge. Jeffrey Dahmer was famous after that Netflix series. You embolden people by saying, you know, necrophilia is not really that bad. It's an okay thing. We just got to take the stigma away from it. You're going to create a whole new generation of serial killers trying to get their kicks and get their rocks off because they've been exposed to it. That social contagion is taking over now.
And they're not thinking about, I mean, come on, what are the parameters for necrophilia being okay?
How so dead do you, they have to
no,
be?
No. Where would you, I don't think you could dig up a body because that is trespassing and
is there
desecrating
a temperature
a corpse
check that has to be taken into account?
I'm just saying there are other laws you'd have to break in order to fuck that corpse that you're digging up. So where would you find a corpse where it would be appropriate to have sex with
the
it?
Morgue?
Well, maybe it's like what Joe said, people donate their bodies. What kind of sickos would donate their bodies to be used as sex toys later on?
Hey,
that's
their
choice.
I'm not gonna be there.
Hey, come on, weird, right?
I actually took the donor card off of my I was a organ donor for a long time, and I'm like, actually, you know what? Nobody wants any of these organs, so I'm just going to take that off.
See,
leave me alone.
I didn't do that for a reason, because I've got the tinfoil hat on that if I'm on a registry somewhere and some rich fuck needs a kidney and I just so happen to match, they'll bump me off to get the kidney.
Absolutely.
Because I'm on a list that way.
Yeah. I thought about that after the fact, but I'm like, I'm glad I took that off, because that's fucked up. Are we in China? I mean, almost. But the yeah, the necrophilia thing is a brand new one to me, and I don't even know what to think about that. But that's it. Everything like this that we talk about just signals to me, if you're looking at cycles of history, this looks like the end of an era, the end of an empire. It's getting so fucking degraded and disgusting, and it's just happening, and it's being put out there, and people are just fine with it. That's what happens at the end of an empire. It gets so disgusting, and whether you're Christian or not, you can recognize this is not something that should be happening. And we can all see it. but it's happening. So I don't think the end times are like the end of the world. It's the end of an era or something. It's the end of whatever this is, because this can't just be allowed to go on. There's going to be a breaking point, whether you think of that as God's judgment or just the natural cycle of shit, the earth getting pissed off and being like, you're fucked up. Get rid of this whole segment of society.
Humanity rising up and saying, you know what? I don't want to do computers anymore. We're just going to meet in person every single time because I don't trust anything I see. And I'm not saying I'm going to go that way, but I think people will get to a point where they're like, nope. I'm not trusting what I see on TV. And there's good and bad to that, but they'll make sure that every single thing that they do is in person.
There's an analogy that Chud and Moral Bob came up with when I was on Are We Content recently, where he likens it, instead of a fourth turning, to a father, a mother, and an infant. So when times are hard and you need to be really almost authoritarian and really hard on people in society, that's the father. It's like the 1950s dad takes his belt off and whips you if you do, you're out of line. The mother is the part of the cycle where it's very caring, nurturing, worried about your feelings, looking after you. The infant is the stage where it's at collapse because you're useless. You need someone to provide for you. You can't do anything on your own. You need that support. Yeah, exactly. But we're stuck in this weird kind of like a situation where the mother wants to maintain control and the Gen Z as a 40-year-olds who live in a basement and are being looked after because their feelings might be hurt. David's no longer David. He's diviner and she's a wonderful daughter and I'll always love her. It's that mother mentality in this cycle which has gone too far. The facts are out the window and it's all about feelings that are enabling a lot of this kind of, for lack of a better word, degeneracy that we see in this collapsing society.
Yeah. And it can only go so far. So I always take or look at it as like it can only go so far. And you can see that in history. Whatever you want to believe about history. But we can see that the same cycles in our own lifetimes. But shit can only go so far till something comes to end that and do the opposite. I'm not saying that's better, like, you know, oh, you have 8 years of Democrats, so now you're going to have 8 years of Republicans because they got so fed up with the other side. It just swings back and forth all the time. So I don't know what's coming next for this. I was hoping the eclipse, just the world would just blow up and we could just be fucking done with it. But no, here we are. I went to work the next day, just like I fucking said on the show. I'm like, I'm pretty sure whatever happens during the eclipse, I'm going to go to work the next day. And I woke up Tuesday and I was like, fuck.
Stupid well, damn it, said, end of the world didn't work again. Got to go to stupid
damn
work.
It. Stupid tinfoil hatters.
You said, babe, about this, and I agree with you 100%, is that this, what we're living in right now, is something that's going to die off. There's not going to be tons of transgender people all the time.
No, because they can't procreate.
Right. Well, they can't, so they're definitely going to die off. And there's enough people out there who just are like, I'm not on board with this. This is not an okay thing. I'm not cool with it. I'm not cool with you doing that. It's fine. I don't hate you. But it's not okay for society to perpetuate this way, obviously. So they're all going to die off eventually. And the leaders will see that and say, I mean, they'll turn our attention elsewhere anyway. But it's just going to be a part of history that we're going to maybe hear about our grandkids reading about someday, or if we reincarnate and come back in 200 years, this will be like the great purple hair era or something like that. That was, you know, it lasted from 2020 to 2065, who knows? But it'll be just a little piece of history that people will study someday, maybe.
It will be. There'll be that weird transition period in like 30 or 40 years' time where if you work in an old folks' home, you're going to see people with Alzheimer's suddenly just go, where's my penis? What happened to it? Where's it gone?
And then there's like a note on their chart that's like, don't call them a guy or a girl or whatever it is. They'll have those chart notes like, okay, this guy had transgender reassignment surgery, whatever. I don't even know what it's called. I'm glad I don't have to deal with that with our kids. So fucking grateful for that. I can't imagine. Do you know anyone, any people close to you who are dealing with kids who are going through like a transgender
phase? I personally don't. We live in quite a conservative little part of the country, but it's nice. Definitely there in the foundations of society just by the state I live in. My state is very left-wing, thanks to the capital city of Melbourne, which, even though because of its small size and its population, which is greater than everywhere else, claims the whole state as being a socialist state, which
It's not like in America. You look in the states during your election cycle. It's a major capital city. The rest of the state can be like Republican, and the small Democrat city can kind of
that's
like
California to a T.
Yeah,
yep. That's
same,
exactly.
It sounds exactly like where you live too.
LA County controls the whole state, and it's like, as far as population goes, a lot of it, but surface area, it's nothing.
And it's like
the
nine
rest
hours
of California, nobody even knows about. It's farmland and mountains. It's the most redneck fucking state north of LA. And no, we don't get
San Francisco. Sorry.
That's just a big turd on the map, so nobody cares about them.
I love San Francisco. It's great. Not their politics, but the city's cool.
It's a city. It smells like shit and smog and.
It's fun. I'm not going to hate on it just because it's a blue city. It's fun.
No, I hate it just because it's a city in general. But no, we're full of rednecks up in here, and that's what the whole city of. Or State of Jefferson thing is. I don't know if you guys know about that in Australia, but the State of Jefferson movement has been going on unsuccessfully for like 100 fucking years because LA controls the politics, LA and, you know, all the other blue cities. So we can't even remove ourselves from California because all the other cities are like, no, you're not going anywhere. We need your water and all of your resources and your farmland. So no, you're not going anywhere. So everybody's just stuck here. That's why there's been a mass migration out of California the last like 10, 15 years.
After 2020, though, I didn't see any more State of Jefferson stickers because I think California and Oregon were just like, I don't even want to be a part of you. Fuck this. Because like I was not even interested in going to Oregon during 2020. And I'm sure Oregon, the people who are in the southern part of Oregon who aren't by Portland and aren't weird were like, I don't know. How far north does that blue hair travel? Like, let's just stay
away
from that.
Well, so that's the thing with Oregon. There's a lot of rednecks there, too.
Are you in Oregon?
But it's Portland. It's the LA of California. It's Portland, Eugene, that kind of area. And that is what everybody thinks of when they think of Oregon, and it's not. Like, I have a lot of family up there that are red fucking necks. Like, hillbilly status. Like, do not come on their property. You'll probably get shot. That's most of Oregon. But everybody thinks of Oregon is the blue-haired Portland fucking weirdos. So we have problems with Oregon people as Californians anyway. But
just their driving.
We won't go into that here.
Go take a class in driving. I don't think you actually have to in Oregon.
No, you don't. They're just like, you want a license? Fuck it. Here you go.
They're like, here's your license plate. You officially now drive like shit.
I need
to
pose a question.
Drive 10 miles under the speed limit? Here you go.
I need to pose a question to you both now. We've kind of covered absolute retarded ability for societies to somehow go through a cycle of self-collapse and self-destruction. You mentioned the pendulum swing, it inevitably has to end and it kind of goes back the other way. Let's pretend, and this is a question for both of you, so I'd like to see your responses on it individually. If for whatever reason, Joe or Jen, you're elected president of the United States in this coming election, what would you do to try and turn around the utter state of the world right now? What would you do to try and fix America?
But I think, first of all, I'd have to be in a certain club that has blackmail over me just to get in there. But if I were to let's say I'm president just as me right now. I don't fucking know. That's the only, I don't know, because I don't know the inner workings of how this stuff works. Or do you do executive orders and look like a dictator? And just be like, no, fuck everybody. I'm going to do what I think is right. I mean, that's, you'd be classed a dictator. If you went through the right channels, your 4 years would be up and then you'd be out of office anyway. Like, I don't know. The system is so broke that I don't think it matters who gets in. That's the problem is me. I would be a terrible president because I'd be like, we're bombing certain cities in the U.S. CIA, get on the horn. Come on. I know you guys can do this, but, yeah, I think the system is so broken from the ground up that it doesn't fucking matter who the president is anymore. It sounds defeatist and like fatalist, but when you've lived through it your whole life, you look at it and you're like, nothing ever changes. No matter who wins, we lose. So, and something's going to have to shake that up, whether that's, I'm down with God doing it, like fucking nut punch the U.S. or something. Like, I don't care. But that's the only thing. I think that's why so many people are into the idea of like the second coming of Jesus and the apocalypse and all that, because they just want to see this system crumble and not have it anymore. We'll rebuild. We'll build back better. But it has to be destroyed first. That's the only thing that can happen, because there's no fixing the problem with the people who made the problems tools. It doesn't work like that. They have everything set up so that you can't fix the problems that they're creating. So it sounds really dark. I'm sure Jen will have a much more positive outlook, but that's what I think.
I'm not sure about that. All right, so
if you're president, Madam President.
Cool. I would find out who our real allies were. I would reach out to them for potential assistance if needed in the future. Then I would declare myself into such a position that I could demolish presidency altogether and just declare anarchy. No rulers. No rulers.
That's one way to
y'all make
the
your own
down.
Rules, but our allies can still help us. I would call them first and say, hey, we're going to need some help. There's a lot of tards here. So please come and help us out, but we're going to establish our own thing from the ground up. And it's not going to be done with a fucking president. It's not going to be done with me. So no more presidency, no more elections. Everyone just figure it out on your own. And it will weed out the fucking losers. Joe was saying it on OBDM. He's like, don't you trust us enough to just weed out the losers? I do, personally. We were having a conversation with one of our very left-wing friends recently. We love very much. But she was just like, well, there's too many dumb people. We need to make sure that we elect the lesser of two evils. And I was like, nope. I'm never going to vote for someone who can't string a sentence together just because orange man bad. Not doing it. So if I'm not playing the game, I'm destroying the game. If I'm the president, fuck you. The system's going down altogether. I will be the destroyer of the system. And everyone can take care of themselves.
That'd be a great inauguration speech, is that you're like, first of all, everybody, don't pay taxes. I'm not saying taxes are illegal. Just don't fucking
taxes
pay
taxes don't
them.
Exist anymore if I'm president. Nothing exists.
I'm taking a huge pay cut by saying this, but don't fucking pay
How
taxes.
How much food do you grow? How much do you care about going to McDonald's to not get paid? Do you still want to make food for people? Does that bring you joy? You can make food for yourself and make food for other people. Or, you know, you can grow food. You can do other things, obviously. McDonald's can definitely, like, fuck off. But if people still want to go to their jobs, go for it. Take what you need from the world, but don't take too much. Otherwise, you're going to get killed.
That's a boss-level way to become president. Just walk in, start smashing up walls, and then go, no more presidency. Fuck this house.
I wouldn't smash anyone. I'd be very calm about it.
From now on, gentle. You burn it down. From now on, this is the Black House.
So I might actually have to declare myself like supreme leader first. No.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, you're fired. I'd be like very Trump about it.
ATF, CIA, you're fired. Sorry, you're done. You're out of a job. No, and everybody hates the idea of, well, first of all, we're fed this idea that anarchy means chaos. That's not what the
it's
idea
just without
is.
Rules. Rules still exist. There's just no rules.
Right. Right, everybody self-governs, and everybody hates that idea because they want daddy government to tell them what to do.
It's
they don't want to self-govern.
It's because of the dumb people, and they're like, no, I can handle the dumb people. And I feel like a lot of – that's why I would call our allies first. I'll call back to that – to help us out because there might be too many dummies hanging
around.
We
pissed off a lot of people. I think the Canadians might be our only allies, and at this point, I'm not sure I want them as allies with Trudeau up there.
All right, and whatever happens, happens. Be okay with it. It's fine.
No, but like everybody goes to the whole, what if government didn't exist, what about my roads? My roads, bro. Okay, in a free market, that would fix itself because there'd be people out there that are like, I have a gravel truck. There's a bunch of potholes on this road. Let's go do that because I drive on this road too.
And they deliberately build a road that wouldn't be fixing every 6 months. It'd be done right.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be because they wanted to help. So I'm not saying that it wouldn't be, but they could potentially not even be doing it to help other people. It would be just because they want to do that. So people would be creating to make sure they have something, and then they would maybe expand out, especially if it's Gen Z doing this, the selfish Gen Z. Sorry. They would be like, oh, other people could possibly benefit from this too, from this nice, smooth road. And then society would grow back.
Yeah,
build back better. That's,
people have a hard time wrapping their heads around that idea because the world we've built is such a convoluted ball of yarn right now that goes through all these bureaucracies to just get a pothole filled in a road. No, if you take all that out of the equation. You got Billy Joe and Bob over there that have, you know, some tar and gravel, and you're like, hey, there's that one pothole over on Fifth Street. We
get
got 5 minutes today. Let's go do that. No licenses, no permits, no talking to the governor about it. Just get down there with the good old boys, fill that bitch up, call it a day, go back and have a beer.
I think the argument that I hear about in the defense of government and having a system of leaders is that if there wasn't government, the criminals will take over, the mafias of the world, the bikie gangs, they'd be worse than the government. And I'm thinking to myself, the only thing that stops those criminals from existing today is there's laws that protect them, because you can't just go murder people. If there was a situation where it was a balancing act of government's been dismantled and we've got these common kind of understanding and laws now, and a gang did try to take over, you'd quickly find the majority of the population would get their pitchforks and torches and kind of deal with the issue. It would be self-regulating.
Anyway, what if the government wasn't there? The gangs and the criminals would run everything?
They are the gangs.
What if I told you they already do?
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, guys.
And guess what? We're always resourceful. As humans, we are resourceful. I will never forget that. I do get a little bit dejected by the way that things are going, but we're always, it's like every time someone builds a firewall, there are going to be hackers that are going to find a way around it. And then that creates another job for software developers or whatever. They're going to figure out a way So we're always going to find a way to revolt against those people and try to take them down. And they're always going to try to take over. It's that constant. We're constantly at odds in this world.
It's almost like there's a polarized game that we're in.
That's kind of what I think this reality is. I don't want to call it a game. I don't think it's a game. I think the consequences are serious in this place. But I think that when we die or exit this realm or level or wherever we're at, I think we'll look back and be like, fuck, okay, I did all right. Send me back in.
Is it a game on hardcore mode? Is that why? It's hardcore mode and there's certain people that seem to have the cheat codes and they do very, very well for themselves without actually trying?
No, I don't know. Maybe we've just gotten really far into the game. We're like, wow, we're on level like 267.
We're like season 300 of Fortnite and we're like, holy shit, this has gone on far too long.
Maybe someone built a game where you can actually create characters that are birthed into the game and they start on that level. And that's where we are. We started on level like 200 because we were born into it. We didn't ask to be. We didn't get to start on level one. We didn't get to learn what grass was and be like, oh, agriculture. We were just like, here's McDonald's, bitch.
Well, maybe we did. That gets into reincarnation, which is a whole different show. But yeah.
Very much
I know,
so.
I'm just fucking around at this point.
Well, guys, this has been a fun conversation. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. For the listeners who haven't heard you, which is very strange if they haven't, where can they find your work?
Oh, at
fuckoff.com
and also
fuck off
on Instagram. No, it's just Legit Bat everywhere. If you look up Legit Bat on Google, we will find probably all of our stuff. We also have a link tree. I'll probably just shoot you that because it has all of our stuff on it.
We have a Telegram. Come join that.
Telegram's fun. Drew's always in there.
Yep, Drew's in there. We have tons of active people in there.
We actually got sneak peeks of his new logos before anybody else.
I guess Instagram dope, did dude. Too. We love him.
Thank you.
Very shout out to
Chance.
Rookie.
Chance is my internet friend now. I love that guy. So shout out to Chance.
Wouldn't Chance have met is him a ghost? If it wasn't.
Yes, Chance is a ghost.
If it wasn't, oh, he's great.
Your Telegram,
he's the most anti-Semitic.
His, mate.
Oh man, he's a
top level noticer. He's a noticer for sure.
Oh yeah. Love that guy. I finally actually got a secondary mode of contact with him because we had a guy in our Telegram. Do you remember Hotep Zach?
Yes. Disappeared.
Dude disappeared off the, I don't know. And hopefully, I don't know if he's still listening. I don't know if he got picked up by the CIA or maybe got drafted by the NFL and they're like, you can't be on this Telegram. He's still in our Telegram, but I haven't heard from him in like a year, which is weird because
he was
one of the most
ball
active.
Player, so maybe he's just doing that.
Maybe he just got married.
That's what I like to hope.
There's only two reasons he should not be in contact with us. One, he's got to the ice wall when he's exploring the outside of this realm. He's in an underground base fighting aliens. Those are the only two excuses, mate. You have to come back to the chat.
When he comes back, he better have some goddamn stories, according to you, Drew.
Thanks, guys. To the listeners, I'll have all the links for Joe and Jen's show, all the awesome stuff, the Telegram, everything will be in there through their link tree, and I'll catch you next time.
Hey, everybody, it's closing time. You don't got to go home, but you can't stay here.